D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service, and we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Before we get to our next topic, Trey is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Trey, thank you for calling.
Hey,
please
guys,
go ahead.
How are y'all doing today?
Good.
Hey, I wanted to know, do y'all think that the roster last year is better than the roster this year on paper? And have they done a good job as far as positioning, getting better players as far as positioning players? And another question I wanted to ask, do y'all think that, what's his name?
Quarterback Cam Ward.
We got from Kansas City, the guy that we got from Kansas City. Do y'all think he'll see the field this year?
L'Jarius Sneed.
Yeah, do y'all think he'll see the field this year?
Thank you for the call, Trey.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate it.
The fact that Trey forgot L'Jarius Sneed's name is not a great sign.
Says a lot.
Yeah.
But is the roster better last year than this year?
I think it is.
You think last year's roster is better than this year's roster?
No, I think this year's roster is better than last year, but only time will tell, because I'm just looking at the moves that they made. They upgraded the offensive line, bringing in Zeitlin. They upgraded the receiver room a tad bit. We're bringing in Lockett, I think he still has something left in the tank, and I think he'll work well in that slot. They got guys on the defensive side of the ball. So I think this, as we sit now, and then obviously the quarterback, as we sit now, I think this looks to be a better roster than it was last year. But we said that about last year's roster compared to the year before that, and they turned out not to be that, even though we knew they were bad. We thought that, man, they're a little bit better. Look at what they did with the offensive line. Well, didn't work. So I think it's better, but only time will tell.
Speaking of L'Jarius Sneed, Jack in Antioch is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. He has a question for Derek on Sneed. Jack, go ahead.
Derek, I have a question. I realize I'm in the regular world and not in pro sports, but this Sneed thing puzzles me. If I went to work for somebody, only worked a few months, got injured or came in with injuries, they're paying for my rehab, paying me a salary while I'm laid out. I go to Texas, 800 miles away, and get in a thug shootout. How on earth do I still have a job?
Thank you for the call,
Jack. Hey, listen, Jack, I agree with you on everything that you said.
And
listen,
that incident is alleged.
Yes, alleged.
Alleged.
We don't know that it happened. That's why it's still an ongoing investigation, I believe. But you didn't say anything wrong there, because you're injured, you're still getting paid while being injured. That's written in your contract, so there's nothing they can do about it. But you should be trying to remove yourself from anything that hasn't had to do with getting healthy. Anything that doesn't have to do with getting healthy, you need to separate yourself from it, or leading you down that road of getting healthy. I can't tell him that he shouldn't have went to Texas, because I think he went there for a camp anyway, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken on that. I know he had his camp. I don't know if it's in Louisiana or Texas, one of the two. But I can't tell a grown man, and nor can the organization tell a grown man that's on IR, he can't go home when the team is gone. So, yes, he went home. What happened allegedly, he's going to have to atone. He's going to have to, be responsible for that. But what the caller said is I don't disagree with them, not one bit, but it just works a little bit different in the world of professional sports. I think we've seen story after story after story that, okay, if a regular person at a job does it, maybe it doesn't get covered the same. And they're right. But there are advantages that individuals get because they are in this position. They get more chances, more opportunities.
Regarding Sneed, and going back to Trey's question, do we think he'll be on the field? I think at some point he's going to be on the field. But that really isn't the question. It's what is he going to look like on the field? And with all of these complicated things that have happened to him. And I did think it was interesting that not the coaches, but Borgonzi and Brinker commended him for being in town. He said he didn't have to be here. Mm-hmm. And I know he wasn't in Tennessee when this alleged incident happened, but they basically said, look, the guy was here. He's been working very hard to get better. But they did say that it was the knee procedure mm-hmm. that was the latest thing. And I heard him say that the quad injury is now
better
healed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now cleaning up the knee, which they knew was a story to begin with, that's keeping him off the field. So I don't know if that's encouraging or discouraging. Mm-hmm. I think he'll get on the field. They seem very optimistic in their tone that he would at least at some point be playing. But that's really not it. It's they need desperately for him to be an impact guy, not just, hey, he's playing.
Exactly.
Before we get to Ask D-Mace in roughly 15, 20 minutes, I want all of us to take a quick trip to New Jersey. Some may call it the armpit of America. I'm joking. Because New Jersey has brought us so many wonderful things. Tony Soprano, Bruce Springsteen,
the Jersey Shore,
Paul Kaharski. It has also brought us DJ Pauly D and Snooki, so there is a downside.
Oh, that's an upside. What are you talking about?
And the residents of New Jersey also can't pump their own gas, but I won't hold that against
them. The housewives in New Jersey?
That's the law.
That. Yeah.
It's a law you can't pump your own gas in New Jersey, so I'm not going to hold that against them. But I saw this story in multiple places, and I just have to say, we need to let kids be kids. Here is the headline from the New York Times. A little leaguer was suspended for a bat flip, so he went to court. The story reads from David Waldstein, quote, "For a moment, it was pure joy for Marco Rocco." By the way, what a fabulous name for a young
kid
man
from New Jersey.
Exactly.
New Jersey. Marco Rocco. "For a moment, it was pure joy for Marco Rocco of Haddonfield, New Jersey. Marco, 12, hit a majestic home run in a Little League tournament game against the team from Harrison on July 16th. When the ball sailed over the fence, Marco did what many players in Major League Baseball do in similar moments and what some players in the Little League World Series have done, too. On his way to first base, he flipped his bat into the air to celebrate and continued his home run trot. The blast put his team up 8-0 and a step closer to the Little League World Series. But throwing bats around small Little League fields is generally frowned upon by the leagues. Marco was ejected from the game, and by rule, all ejections carry a one-game suspension for the next game, too. That meant Marco Rocco would be barred from playing in a showdown against Elmora Township scheduled for Thursday night with a chance to win the New Jersey State Little League crown. So his father, Mr. Rocco, a lawyer, asked a New Jersey court for a temporary restraining order, claiming that the International Little League organization, which runs the Little League World Series, was acting hypocritically because it actually promotes bat flips. The judge agreed and ruled on Thursday that Marco could play.
Good for Marco Rocco.
Let kids be kids. If a 12-year-old wants to do a bat flip in a Little League World Series game, he doesn't need to go to court to defend it. Come on. Let kids be kids.
This is what's weird to me. The Little League organization said after the ruling that it supported or is this after the judge's ruling or after their own ruling?
The Little League organization said in a statement after the ruling that it supported the decisions of its umpires and was, quote, disappointed that a legal ruling contradicts the integrity of Little League International's values and rules.
I'm disappointed in that because I think Little League should have looked at the video. Mm-hmm. And look, I'm not a big bat flip guy, but all bat flips are not created equal. Mm-hmm. That would have been a really harsh punishment. And I'm glad. It's a good thing Mr. Rocco happens to be an attorney. And he acted smoothly. Or else I don't even know presumably the game was last night. I wonder if they won. But when I looked at the video, because you read the story and you're like, okay, what did he do? What did he do? Because sometimes a bat flip is and accompanied with the way you go about it can be a little bit over the top, right? Taunting, that kind of thing. But he flipped the bat. It wasn't super high. Mm-hmm. He got excited as he flipped the bat. He looked into his dugout with his teammates and friends, presumably, and not into the other dugout, which would have been a factor for me. And then he enthusiastically ran around the bases. He wasn't pointing his finger at the other team or anything like that. So we shouldn't just be – this is where I think when you're trying to make a sensible decision, you're deciding to throw a guy out of a game or a, which carries a suspension and a penalty, it shouldn't just be, did he flip the bat? Because I could flip a bat and it wouldn't be the same as somebody else is flipping a bat. You see what I'm saying? Like, there was nothing non-fun about that. That was all just a kid being fun.
Especially for kids that age. Sports are all about having fun. And part of that fun, when you are little, I'm sure the both of you did it when you were little, is emulating your favorite athlete. If you're a baseball player, you do the same batting stance as your favorite Major League Baseball player, down to, you know, the amount of check swings that they take before they step up to the plate. I remember when I was younger, coaching at a basketball camp in my hometown, there was a kid who loved Gilbert Arenas. And I believe that Gilbert Arenas, before he would shoot free throws, would take the ball and sort of wrap it around his waist a couple of times. And I had to tell this kid, man, you better shoot those free throws, because he was taking forever to do it. But you know what? He was having fun. He loved Gilbert Arenas. He wanted to emulate Gilbert Arenas shooting the basketball at the free throw line. But that's what this is all about. So, I mean, I'm glad. I think the court, the judge made the right decision. But I just read this and I said, let kids be kids, man. If the 12-year-old wants to bat flip in a Little League World Series game, let the kid do it. Don't throw him out of the game.
And it's a good point that the major leaguers, there are some guys that bat flip. And, you know, you might get hit in the back at some point down the road if you go over the top with it. And that is part of the game. And you should teach the kids that, all that goes into a bat flip. The way he did it, I think, is important, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't. It did not show up. It was just a kid having fun.
I mean, listen, the bat whip did go pretty high, but even with that,
it did.
Even with that, I think that was a moment again. I think as adults, sometimes we think, oh, you know, punishing him harshly, that's the best message he's going to learn. When in fact, no, you should have let him run the bases. Stopped the game, walked over there to his coach and say, hey, listen, I'm warning him. We're not going to have this anymore. And bring the kid over and say, hey, listen, I know you were excited, but you can't do that. Let the other team know we gave a warning. If he does it again, he's out. That's a teachable moment for a kid, not just throwing him out of the game and then because you know he's already. Maybe you ain't even thinking about the next game and him being suspended. But that's how the rules are based, you know, that's how the rules are written. As a umpire, you are there to observe it all, make the right call, but you get leeway. You get an opportunity to show, to have a little gray area. Hey, kid, come over here. Coach, time out. Boom. Hey, he can't do that again. You know, I felt he was showing up the other team, but we can't do that. And I'm sure the coach would say, all right, I got you. Hey, yeah, don't do that no more.
And also, I think a good coach or even an umpire or an official, whether it's right in the moment, mm-hmm, because this is a playoff game, like this, people, we know in this area every year, mm-hmm, there are teams that are trying to get to Williamsport and often have gotten to Williamsport. It's competitive. But the score of the game, too, I think they were way ahead, mm-hmm, when he hit it. I think that's something you teach. Like, hey,
yeah,
that may not be the time to do the bat flip.
Exactly.
When we're already ahead. We know we're going to win. That was a big hit. I know you're excited, but, you know, just take it down, mm-hmm, a little bit, or just understand how that goes over,
exactly,
in the other dugout, and then decide. But there is no rule in Little League rules about specifically you can't bat flip. And they pointed out that ESPN's showing all these bat flips at the Little League World Series, so what's a kid supposed to know? Yeah.
I am glad that the judge made the right decision. I just wanted to highlight that. Again, let kids be kids, especially when they're playing sports. Also, was the umpire Jared?
Wait a minute. Do we need to look at this again?
I'm just saying, Jared doesn't like backwards hats, so you can also imagine Jared doesn't like bat flips. Maybe Jared has a long-lost cousin in New Jersey. Marco Rocco Stillman. I don't know.
Stillman Rocco.
Haddonfield, New Jersey, hometown of my former teammate at Vanderbilt and future NBA, well, eventually made it to the NBA, Matt Maloney, who was a heck of a player. He played some years with Charles Barkley and Akeem in Houston, some pretty, mm-hmm, good teams.
Very good.
Yeah. Haddonfield is a, kind of a Philadelphia, South New Jersey, close to
Jersey,
Philly.
Jersey.
Got to work on that accent.
Yeah, I
got to
work
bit.
On that accent. Yeah, I felt I did.
615-737. Right. That's all right. My parents are native New Yorkers. Uh-huh. My dad is from Brooklyn and my mom is from Queens. I obviously wasn't born or raised in New York, but I think just sort of through osmosis, or I guess genetics, like sometimes, especially when I'm around them.
Queensbridge!
I feel like I get a bit of a northeastern accent. But nevertheless, 615-737-1025. Just wanted to highlight that. Let kids be kids, damn it. 615-737-1025. It is time for Ask D-Mace. So get your questions in now. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Anything and everything is available. You can ask about the Titans. You can ask about life. You can ask about hemorrhoids. You can do whatever you want. Derek is open to those questions. 615-737-1025. 1025 The Game and Souls for Souls have teamed up for a back-to-school fundraiser, Souls for the 615, to provide new shoes for kids experiencing homelessness in Nashville. Help a child in Middle Tennessee step into a new school year with confidence by donating $20 for a new pair of athletic shoes. For more information and to donate, visit thegamenashville.com/shoes. Souls for the 615 is sponsored by Macero and 12 South. Go check them out for handcrafted cocktails, bold plates, great happy hour, and elevated hospitality.
G-mers. He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. If you have a question for Derek, you can get them in now. Let's start with Doug on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Doug, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, man.
What's
and maybe
going on?
It's just me, but you've come through for me many times, D. Mason, in times of peril. Justin Fields yesterday had a injury, and it went from knee to ankle to a toe. So, D. Mace, I ask you, heck, screw D-Mace, I ask all of you guys there, have you ever heard of an injury that went from one body part to another in the poor reporting of media? That's ridiculous.
Thank you for the call,
Doug. Thank you, Doug.
Now, I don't remember the knee and the ankle.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw the report that it was a lower leg injury that led to him being placed on a cart and taken off the field.
Then it ended up being...
It was a dislocated toe.
Yeah, ooh, that got hurt. Oh, man. But, I mean, sometimes, and I didn't hear it. I didn't hear the knee, then the ankle, then the toe. I just first heard it was lower body injury, and then I heard it was the toe. Now, I'm not scrolling through, you know, Twitter or anything like that, and I'm not suggesting that our caller it was as well. But sometimes when you're rushed to just get a story out there, sometimes you may put in information that is not thoroughly vetted, meaning you just wanted to put out there that he was injured. So, well, it looked like a knee because he was limping. Oh, it looks like more of his ankle now. And then you wait and it's his toe. Why? Because people always want to have the first story out there. That's basically what it is. Instead of sitting back and waiting for a final diagnosis of his injury and then putting it out there. But everybody wants to be the first person. So you're gonna get individuals trying to give you real-time information, and they're not even getting it.
Let's go to James on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. James, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for taking my phone call. Derek, I just got a quick question for you. I just want to know whether in college or your time in the pros, and not linebacker or off defensive lineman, but what defensive back hits you the hardest and that you just dread having to go against, either in college or the pros, or you can even break them down and give me two, both give me a college individual and a pro individual if you'd like. And before I get off here, I just want to let you know that University of Tennessee and Michigan State have never, ever played in their two universities' historical history. With that, I'll hang up and let you answer the question. Thank you so much.
Thanks, James.
Wow. Man, I didn't know that. Okay, as far as which defensive backs don't hit. They just don't hit hard. It's just that's not what they're there to do. They're there to cover you. You know, they may get a solid shot, but I never got hit by a defensive back. Now, I'll tell you one thing, by a defensive, like, secondary guy, it was Pollard. Was it? Yeah. Pollard, they played here, right? Yeah, Pollard. I had just got traded from Baltimore, from the Jets to Houston. And I played Baltimore back-to-back weeks. 1 week I played Baltimore when I was with the Jets. And then the next week I played Baltimore when I was at Houston. So I played back-to-back games against Baltimore. But I caught a pass, a slant route. And I don't think he knew it, but he hit me so hard. I was like, oh! I want to just go down and stay down. He hit me so hard. It was a solid hit. It was a slant. I caught the ball, but I don't even realize how hard I don't think he realized how hard he hit me. But man, oh man, he got me perfect shot. I think it was somewhere in like the rib or something. He took the wind out of me. Ooh. I was like, man, I'm getting too old for this. That's what I knew. I'm done.
Quickly, Jason in Clarksville on our text line has a dad joke for D-Mace.
Let's go.
Coldplay hasn't released new music in years. Then they made two new singles in one night.
Man, oh man. This is never going to stop with those two.
As
never
far as stop. I know, there were no situations at the Coldplay concert in Nashville earlier this week.
Nah, I think everybody got the memo.
Everybody was on their best behavior.
Exactly.
Smart people here in this town.
Exactly.
Keep it on the down low. Oh, Joey is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Joey, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, D-Mace. So this is football related, but it's also related to kids, as I'm a father now. As you reflect over the highlights of your career, all the things you've achieved, you know, congrats on your recent induction to the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame.
Thank you.
When you reflect now as a father, are you able to see through your parents' eyes and how proud they are of you when you look at your kids and the accomplishments that they have?
Thank you, Joey.
Thank you, Joey. Yeah, I think as a parent, as a kid first, you don't know how proud your parents are, especially like Willie and our generation, where parents were just a little bit different. You know, some fathers didn't outwardly show their love for you, but you knew they loved you by the things that they did. So as a kid, that's the only way, you know, how they're presented to you is how you receive it. But I think as you get older, you understand like, okay, you start to see it through their eyes and you try to approach it a little bit different. And that's what I have done with my children, Bailey and DJ. You know, I've approached them through the lens of what my parents did, but then I wanted to do a little better in supporting them and being happy for them and being sad for them too when things didn't go right. But my children always know, no matter what, that I'm proud of them. I tell them that all the time. Even if nothing has happened, I'm still proud of them, who they're becoming. So I do see it. And in sports, you know, my son didn't play much sports. He played football for a little bit. He ran track for a little bit and played lacrosse. But those wasn't his things. He did it, you know, to be active. But he found out very quickly that he didn't want sports to sort of be his thing. You know, he played it, but he didn't want it to be his thing. But I was still proud of him. You know, even though he didn't do much out on the football field, I was just proud that he went out there and wanted to be a part of what was going on and wanted to be a teammate.
A lot of people want to get in on Ask D-Mace
today.
Let's
go.
Let's go to Gary on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Gary, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, Derek, how you doing?
I'm doing
good. I was just curious on the location of training camp, if you feel it makes a difference. I know you were with Tennessee and Baltimore. Well, Pittsburgh goes to St. Vincent's College, 30 miles away in the boondocks, and they stay in dorms. Like tonight, Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf will be in a dorm. I think it builds more camaraderie than going home each night or going to Twin Peaks each night. Mm-hmm. I just feel like the Steelers have it down pat. I just don't know what your thoughts are, how you did it in Baltimore. I walk the Riverwalk and see the bubble here, but it just doesn't seem like it should be here. And I just wish you well with the hemorrhoids. I got mine cut out 20 years ago. Greatest thing I ever did. No more. But so, thank you, guys.
thank you, Gary.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it. The whole going away for camp and staying at home, you know, some coaches still enjoy doing that because, and we did it in Baltimore. We stayed, you know, we stayed in state, but our camps were at Westminster, which was about 45 minutes outside of probably a little bit, maybe about an hour outside of Baltimore proper. So, but it was 45 minutes or 30 minutes from the facility. But you still had to drive out there. But it does give you a sense of camaraderie because it's just y'all. The fans are out there, but, you know, it's not your family. You're not going home every day where you got to deal with this and deal with that and come back. And no, we try to isolate you for those 2 weeks. Your family understands. We're going to give you an opportunity to go home throughout this whole process. But we're all sleeping in hotels or we're all sleeping in dorms. Now, after a while, you know, head coaches tend to let veteran guys go home a little bit more than that. But guys are like, man, I'm 30, 45 minutes away from the house. I'm not going home. I'm tired. We're not bad. Well, back then, we were not done with meetings until 10 o'clock at night. So nobody's going to get up. I mean, nobody's going to walk out of their meeting sore and tired, get in their car and travel 45 minutes up the road. And it's not a good drive. It's just a straight drive. Nobody's going to do that. So guys tend to stay in a locker, tend to stay on campus. So I like the fact that teams try to go away for a period of time and let it just be them.
Before we get to our next call, Joe Rexroad has chimed in and says, hemorrhoids, that's way nastier than gout, and you ripped us. Where do we stand on this important issue? Hemorrhoids or gout?
You make the call. Oh, man.
To be fair, Joe, gout has become a part of your personality.
Exactly. And you have more ailments than anybody, Joe. Something always happens to you for whatever reason. Something happens to Joe. So that's why we get on you.
Let me just say this, Rex Road. If Derek has hemorrhoids, as long as you've had gout, then we'll talk. But gout has become a defining characteristic of
synonymous
your personality. That's all I'm saying. Let's go to one more call before break. Let's go to Wes on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Wes, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, good Friday, guys.
Hey, Wes.
I want to say I agree with the previous caller. I didn't get hemorrhoids cut out, but yeah, no more butt stuff.
Can you say that?
Yeah, you can.
He said that right when he was hanging up.
All right, fair enough.
Here's my dad joke for you, man. Where do lizards go to get their fallen or broken tail fixed?
I don't know.
No idea.
The retail shop.
Retail.
So I got a point for that one. That was a good one.
That's a dad joke, but go ahead.
But yeah, man. So my question for you, D-Mace, is this. I'm keeping it out of football because there's a lot of crazy stuff that's happened about football this week. So I don't want to do raw stuff anymore. If you could swap any lead actor of two movies and replace them with another lead actor of another movie, who would it be? For example, if you could take Will Ferrell out of Step Brothers and replace him with somebody else, who would that be? I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, man.
That's a good question.
Yeah, I can't take Will Ferrell. Yeah, I can't take Will Ferrell out of Step Dad. What was it?
Step Brothers.
Step Brothers.
Yes, with John C. Reilly.
There is a Step Dad one. but stepbrothers. I can't take because they fit so well. It's like a hand in glove. They just fit so well. I think a few Supermans I would have taken out.
Have you seen the new Superman?
I hadn't seen that one. But the ones prior, some of them, it's just like I would rather have another actor in there. Let me see. This is one I would probably have to really think about. It's a good question, Wes, but off the top of my head, the only one I can think of is or Batman when whatchacallit played Batman. I didn't like him in that.
George Clooney?
Yeah, not Clooney, but Ben Affleck. Yeah. I didn't like Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yeah, that was a tough sell.
They should have went back to to whatchacallit, Kevin, what's his name? That was in it
Christian with Bale?
Yeah, they should have went back to Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
Yeah. I like Christian Bale. So if they could have swapped out Ben Affleck for Christian Bale or somebody else.
Where is she?
Yeah. It was horrible, man.
Where's Scarecrow?
It was horrible with Ben Affleck.
615-737-1025. Okay, quickly. One texter says, Rex Road, this is not Rex Road, but a texter says, I have gout in both big toes. I hope I never have hemorrhoids too. Gout is the most painful thing I've ever dealt with. That's what I'm saying, Rex Road. Mm-hmm. When Derek has hemorrhoids, as long as you've had gout, then we'll talk. 615-737-1025. We have plenty of other questions for Derek. We'll get to them next. Willie Darnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vinge, 1025-1063, the game. Did you choose this song? I mean, I love Annie.
The kids have a hard not life now, man. You get suspended for flipping bats. I mean, come on, let the kids be a kid.
Right.
Man.
You also had a hard not life. Exactly. You know, with the hemorrhoids.
Exactly, man. We all having a hard not life.
Speaking of where a kid can be a kid, Alex from Franklin says, what does Derek think about the Chuck E. Cheese mascot getting arrested in Florida in front of the kids?
Oh, snap. What did he do?
A Chuck E. Cheese mascot has been arrested in Florida after a customer ratted him out. After a customer ratted him out as an alleged thief, police said. A worker dressed in a Chuck E. Cheese costume at one of the kid-friendly pizza chain's franchises in Tallahassee, Florida, was taken into custody Wednesday night on larceny charges and hauled out of the restaurant in handcuffs as children looked on.
That's a shame.
I knew
you can't
I shouldn't
do that.
Trust Charles.
The suspect was dressed head-to-toe in a Chuck E. Cheese costume when police confronted him around 7:30 p.m. local time.
You can't do that. You can't. And I mean this like really, like honestly, it's like, okay, larceny. It wasn't murder. It wasn't larceny. He stole something. Take him in the back room. Tell him to take off the suit and then cuff him because that's a traumatic event. They're seeing Chucky get arrested.
Their idol.
Exactly. Their idol is getting, that he's was being the moment. Hauled off to jail.
That was the moment their childhood died.
Not Chucky.
Exactly. All those kids should have stood up and block the door.
I need to find the video of Chucky.
They need to be armed.
You do know what Chuck E. Cheese's government name is? Charles Entertainment Cheese.
Is it?
Chuck E. Cheese.
I never
the
knew
E
that.
Stands for entertainment.
I never knew that.
Charles Entertainment that? Cheese.
No, maybe I did at one point, but I forgot it once the kids got big. When they became grown up, we didn't go
that's
back.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
So is he a prison rat now?
Yes. Because somebody ratted him out. Because he ran away with the cheese.
Y'all got any cheese? Let's go to,
who's with the peanut butter?
Let's go to Nate on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nate, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
What's up, guys? I got a quick dad joke for you that I heard yesterday. Where do basketball players go when they need a new uniform?
Where?
New Jersey.
I like that. That is a good
dad. Well, we did talk
joke.
About New Jersey
exactly.
today. So.
That's clever. That is clever. I like that.
That works.
Fell in line with the themes of the show.
Exactly. By the way, here's the picture of Chucky
see, that's
being hauled
so
out.
That is so wrong right there.
We'll tweet that out. Go ahead, Nate. Sorry.
But why? I mean, I know as a fan, you are prone to focus more on the bad than good. Do you think that's why no one remembers Callahan getting on to Will Levis last year saying, what the bleep are you doing when he threw the ball backwards? I mean, they're saying that, you know, yeah, he should have gotten on to
Jeff Simmons.
But, I mean, he did get on to Will Levis. I know it's a little different because Simmons is a big vet, and bit, no pun intended with big. And Levis was basically a rookie. So, yeah, it's different. But, I mean, I don't see it the same that way, you know?
No, Thank you, Nate. I get what you're saying that, you know, he was demanding and assertive and, you know, really even threw out authentic on what you want your coach to be. I think in that move, in that moment, you saw with Will Levis, he was all of those. That was authentically his frustration. He was demanding excellence in that moment, and he wasn't getting it. So those moments people forget about. Why? Because there are other moments that overshadow them. More important, most notable, the Jeffrey Simmons in practice thing. So people see that. It dwarfs what happened with Will Levis because that's what a head coach is. He demanded excellence, and Will wasn't giving it to him, and he showed that authentic raw emotion by saying, "What the you are you doing? Because I just told you don't do something that is going to hurt us. We should win this game, and you went out and you did."
Let's go to Adam on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Adam, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, D-May. So this is what I think about. All right, so I think about the '99 team, and if we would have got that yard and we win the Super Bowl, I think the next year we probably repeat. People don't talk about that, but I thought that team was pressing so much. Like, as a 14-year-old kid watching it, I'm like, oh, my God, Del Greco can't hit a kick. Steve doesn't ever throw it behind Eddie like that. Like, there's so many things that were pressing in that game. So it leads me to this question. I haven't seen a Super Bowl since then. Obviously, we haven't seen a Super Bowl. Do you think in my lifetime, I'm 40 years old, about to be 40, I will ever see a Titans win a championship? And if not, so it's the Titans or the Preds. Who wins one first, and how many years do I have to wait to see that?
Thank you for the call, Adam.
Thank you, Adam. Adam, I'm going to say yes because I pray you have a long and prosperous life. So first and foremost, I'm going to say yes, you will see a championship. But I'm not sure. I mean, that may be a question, Willie, because he knows, like, the Predators in and out, and he knows how close they are or they aren't. I'm only looking and see because of last year, they had taken a step back, but I don't know how far that step back they took. How far did they take, and how long will they be able to sort of get themselves ahead of where they was last year and back at that point where, you know, they're competing, you know, for a championship that hasn't been here for a good while. So, but as far as the players' makeup, I don't know if the Predators, how close they are or how close. I can tell you where they're not close. I can say the Titans aren't close. But football is a funny sport because I may think they're not close now, but they get in the season, things hit. And they find themselves like the Washington Commanders, like the Houston Texans, either in divisional playoffs or NFC and AFC championship games.
I think defining your season as a success can mean so many different things to different people based on the expectation level. But the whole, will they win in our lifetime? Mm-hmm. It's such a hard question to answer. And I brought this up to you guys a few weeks ago, but when the Panthers won for the second straight year, as recently as, what, 10 years ago, you would never have thought. Like, if you're a lifelong Panther fan, like, could you say, hey, will they ever win a Stanley Cup in our lifetime? It looked a long way away. They went, what, 20 years without winning a playoff series?
They were one of the most irrelevant franchises in the NHL for close to two decades, I would say.
And then here they are. The Marlins always get joked about, right? The Marlins have won two World Series. And most years, they're not a factor. Most years. And not even close to one. And then there's all these other teams that are right there every year. Or open up several windows of six, seven straight years of being right there, but never win it. So it's an impossible question to answer. And I think the question is, who would you rather root for? A team that's kind of in it every year and you got hope every year? Or a team that's irrelevant for a long time, but they have a championship.
Yeah.
Let's go to Daniel on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Daniel, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hey, guys. I got nothing about hemorrhoids, but I was wondering, does that have anything to do with the tush push?
No, that's a good one. Y'all got jokes. Okay.
Well, listen, I'm a bit of a dinosaur. I'm getting up there near 70 years old, and I'm wondering, when I was a kid coming up, I used to follow different, you know, my football team, my baseball team, and I always knew the names of the players. They were pretty stable, and they were a team year after year after year. And it seems like over the years that's begun to degrade to where I don't even know the name of my coach half the time because everybody's moving around all the time. What's changed that's caused that sort of breakdown of the old kind of my team spirit situation?
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, Daniel. Money. That's what's changed it. The money is so enormous now. You know, owners and GMs, the patience is very thin. So, you know, there's only a couple of franchises, Pittsburgh, Baltimore. When you talk about longevity, those are the first two organizations you think of. Why? Look at the tenures of their head coaches, both of them. One of them, I think, is over 20. And one, I think Harbaugh is close to 20, if not. So when you get that stability, you're able to stick with one team and you're able to know the coach and all this other stuff. But in today's game, that is few and far between. I think probably if they, you know, they say the average, you know, playing career of an NFL player has gone up. It's like 3.5 to 4 now. I would dare to say that, you know, the expectancy of a head coach keeping his job is probably 2 years. That made 2.5 years. Would y'all say it would? Do y'all think it would be more than that? Because now you're getting paid so much money and teams want immediate success, even when a team said we're going to be patient. Patience may change in the middle of the season. Patience may change at the end of the season, depending on how that season looks. I was talking to somebody today before I got into work. They were talking about, they're talking about patience, but let Mike Vrabel come in here and wipe up the Tennessee Titans. That patience is gone.
Well, you think about Andrew Burnett and how it seemed a little bit against convention to allow him to stay on after one bad year and one really, really good year right before that. But there was a lot of sense of, well, man, you gotta get a new guy in there. You know, but that speaks to what you're talking about. It seems to be less patience with more money, all of that.
Quickly, our last question from Austin, and this is not a planted question. Mm-hmm. Austin says, Derek, my question for you is, what is your favorite thing about your friendships with Willie and Adam?
Oh, man, everything. I think both you, Adam, and Willie, the friendship is there because it's organic. You know, we all three are different, but we're alike in some ways. But we all have our sort of differences, and our listeners can hear the differences in when we're talking. So that's what I enjoy about our friendship, that we all have differences, but we're all the same in a lot of ways, and we know how to feed off of one another, whether it be on the radio or if we were just talking to each other off radio. So that I do appreciate. I think we all genuinely care about one another.
Indeed we do. And you know what? The first anniversary of DVD is not too far off in the distance.
Absolutely.
In mid-September, we'll have to get ourselves a cake.
Yeah.
Maybe a Fudgy the Whale
Carvel. Hey, Sue, we need a cake. That anniversary is coming around. We're going to need that cake.
615-737-1025. Outstanding participation from all of you for Ask the Mace this week. Coming up next, yesterday, we spoke to ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. We had such a great time talking to him. He was so passionate about Cam Ward. We're going to replay that interview for you coming up next if you missed it yesterday. So we will replay our interview with ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.